Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Hedberg Show. This is Dr. Nicholas Hedberg, and in this episode, I'll be talking about gluten and Hashimoto's disease. So this is it's fairly controversial. Everybody, you know, talking about it on the internet seems to think that every single human being on planet Earth who has Hashimoto's must be 100% gluten-free for life, and today I'm going to talk about why that simply isn't true. So let's jump in and just cover a couple of the basics. So gluten is basically a protein found in certain grains: wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelt. Those are the main ones. And one thing to note is that oats do not contain gluten in nature. They are contaminated by gluten when they go through processing and machinery that has also processed other gluten-containing grains. So let's say you have wheat that is being processed in a machine. The residues of the gluten are still in the machinery, and then the oats that are inherently gluten-free go through processing through the same machine, and then they become contaminated with gluten. So you can buy 100% gluten-free oats. There are a lot of studies that do show a connection between gluten and Hashimoto's disease. And then there are definitely studies that show people with celiac disease actually have a much higher rate of Hashimoto's disease. So celiac disease only affects about 2% of the population. And then gluten intolerance, also known as gluten sensitivity, at the time of this recording, it's estimated that that affects approximately 40% of the population. And that may change in the future the more we learn about it. So gluten has a component to it called gliadin. And gliadin is really where the testing comes in and what the tests are looking for. So there are a number of different tests for gluten sensitivity. There's blood testing, there's saliva testing, and there's stool testing. They all have their strengths and weaknesses. And then you can do genetic testing through a cheek swab, and that's looking for the HLA-DQ genes, which will show a genetic predisposition to gluten sensitivity or celiac disease. But really the best test is just a trial gluten-free diet for about 4 to 6 weeks. And if there's any improvements in how you're feeling, then that is a pretty good sign that there's some level of intolerance there. Now, the healthier your gut is, the better you'll be able to digest and metabolize the gluten that you eat. So the question of quantity and quality always comes into the picture. How much gluten are we talking about, and what is the quality of the source of the gluten? For example, we can't really compare a slice of Wonder Bread compared to a slice of an artisan, organic sourdough bread. I mean, you just can't compare the two. They're not the same food. So one of the things that comes into the picture is the permeability of the gut. And so some of you may be familiar with the term leaky gut syndrome. The technical term for that is gastrointestinal hyperpermeability. But leaky gut is just much easier to say. Now, one of the things that is usually required for autoimmune disease to trigger or to turn on is gut permeability. So that's why the gut is really key when it comes to this discussion about gluten and Hashimoto's disease. So this leaky gut, this increased permeability, is going to be a factor as far as, you know, who can tolerate gluten and who can't if they have Hashimoto's disease. Another thing to note is that upwards of 60% of the symptoms that are caused by gluten can happen outside of the digestive tract. So you may actually not really have many symptoms or any symptoms at all in the GI, but you can still have gluten intolerance. So you might have things like brain fog, memory loss, headaches like migraines, fatigue. You might have mood issues like depression, anxiety, insomnia, joint pain, muscle pain, skin issues like psoriasis, rashes, and eczema. So just a whole host of things can happen outside of the gut that are caused by gluten. So let's plant a flag now and talk about this question of, does everyone have to be gluten-free who has Hashimoto's? And the answer is no. Basically, once someone has gotten their antibody levels down to an extremely low level, or if they're just not detectable, the patient is feeling great, virtually symptom-free, their thyroid numbers look great, their blood work looks great, the antibodies are very low, the gut health is excellent. At that point, it's okay to try some gluten. Again, going back to the quality and the quantity. So when I'm working with patients, after 6 months, 12 months, however long it takes to completely get everything 100%, then we can do a gluten challenge where we'll have them eat some high-quality sourdough bread a few times a week. We might do that for a few weeks or a month, and they'll just kind of watch and see if anything, you know, relapses or if they get worse. And then we'll recheck the thyroid antibodies and the thyroid numbers after a month. And some people, they'll notice right away that they just can't have it. And then other people will feel great and will retest. Their thyroid numbers have not changed at all. Their thyroid antibodies have not increased at all. In fact, in some cases, they still improve or they even get better, despite the fact that they're eating some gluten in a low quantity and a high quality source. So the answer to the question is going to be very patient specific. It's going to depend on their genetics, you know, what other conditions they have, how much stress is in their life, the health of their gut and their immune system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All the things that we look at in detail when I'm helping a patient. So there's really no controversy about it. The fact of the matter is that it is not a black and white issue. Not everyone with Hashimoto's disease has to be gluten-free forever. Once you're feeling great and everything's looking good, then we can test and we can check and see if maybe you can have gluten in moderation from a high quality source so that you can enjoy those foods for the rest of your life. Nothing would be worse than avoiding gluten 100% for an entire lifetime unnecessarily. So those are some things to think about. And so be careful of anyone out there who is very dogmatic or fanatical about this issue. It just simply isn't true, and it's definitely not 100% in favor of everyone with Hashimoto's being gluten-free. So I hope that kind of sheds some light on that question, clears things up. And that's all I have for you on this topic. So this is Dr. Hedberg, and I will see you at the next podcast. Take care.